Tonight, I'd like to share with you a promise with a premise, which will become very apparent at John 6, at verse number 35. One of the great classic passages of Scripture, the Gospel of John itself, the repository of the great I Am passages in the Bible. Jesus said unto them in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now there's a promise. We focus our attention for these few moments that we have on the word come or cometh. And therein lies the premise of this promise. The word obviously carries this sense of an approach to God, whether it's personal, individual, or corporate. And the promise is that he that keeps coming will never hunger, opening the door for the prospect and the reality that Christian people can, in a sense, starve. They can starve if they stop coming. One of the things that fries me, and I don't know what the logic of it is there's a couple of cooking shows that I like to watch on TV. The chef, I guess the dollar amount on the plate revolves around who makes it. Every now and again, they'll have this guy all dressed up in his chefery outfit, fancy hat, the whole thing, and he's working and working and working and working at stuff. He's working against the clock. And as the time approaches for him to be finished, he has to set his plate with the stuff he's been making. And he has to put it on there so that it looks nice. Okay? And after they get it all done, beautiful plate, absolutely. The linen with its little wooden ring right there beside looks really good. And here comes the guy with his food. And he's got a little bit of meat, a little bit of potato, and a less piece of vegetable. And he's got it there neatly arranged on this giant plate. And the thing that fries me, aside from the fact that there's no possible way that a normal, sane human being could eat that and be satisfied, is the amount of money you have to pay to have it delivered to your table. That's nuts. That fries me. I look at this fresh bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that keeps on coming shall never hunger. There's always satisfaction. Christ is absolutely sufficient. There is nothing left to your imagination or to your desire when you have that intimate, frequent, unending fellowship with Him, which is a sense of what He teaches us in the 15th chapter of the book of John. The abiding relationship. Whenever I think about the fact of the promise here where you shall never hunger, there is in the same chapter a qualified definition of that in a spiritual sense in verse number 50. In verse number 50, same chapter, we read these words. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, you can die by starving. I've never met anybody who did that, but I know that there are people who have to deal with that. People can die from starvation. It doesn't happen quickly. It happens slowly. It happens painfully. And when there is no access to the nutrition, eventually the person goes comatose and just dies an anguishing, painful death, physically. And I would assume that whenever it is that the child of God who has an open invitation to the banquet table, the open invitation of the bread himself to come, as often as you like, there should be no excuse for a daily communion with the Lord. And when a person does not do that, they can get weak and sickly. And if they sustain that course, they will starve and essentially become useless in the body. Now, there is this Bible study tool that I love, and I have shared it with you many, many times, is that I'm a fond user of Scripture to enhance Scripture. I believe that the best way for a person to read the Bible devotionally and to gain from the Bible is to let the Scripture interpret the Scripture, even if it comes as we do to this word, cometh, this word. And so when we look in the Gospel of Mark, for example, we see this delightful idea of the blessing of the promise in play. In Mark chapter 5 and verse number 22, in this context of Jesus raising the man's daughter from death. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, behold, there cometh, and there's the key word, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And if you read the rest of the way down through, he besought him greatly. This was not just some dry, passionless request that he made. After all, it was his daughter that was at issue. And he comes and it says he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, there is an insert in this chapter that happens to, by the Spirit of God, convey the same note. We will come back, we will spin back around to the conclusion of this story of Jesus with this little girl. But while we're looking in this plot, please notice in verse 25, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, it was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, says she came in, there's the key word, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now that's faith in action. That is faith. Well, when you follow this down to the 29th verse, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Now, faith attaches promise. Faith, as we understand it in the Bible, is a gift of God. Faith is never generated in the human spirit. Faith is a gift of God. And so one might ask, what, concerning this woman, what was it that so compelled her to make this apparently rash assumption that if she would just touch his clothes, that she could be healed? And I would just simply say that there is a spirit impartation of faith that when she did that, she who came was healed. Now remember the promise with the premise. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And that goes with any other thing. Never hunger, because if we're talking about the hungering, and then the 50th verse in that same chapter speaks about death, living and dying, then it must then cover the whole gamut of things in between. And so we look at this place in Mark chapter 5 and we spin back around to verse number 35. Back to the ruler and his daughter again. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Too late. Too late. Even when it is apparent from the human perspective that you've run out of time, it's never that way when God is in it. It can be too late from our perspective, but never from God's perspective. God will do what he is going to do without respect to time. And so, as soon as Jesus heard in verse 36, the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now the word believe, of course, is synonymous with faith. Believe in faith. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler, seeth the tumult. There was a big wailing party. When he was come in, he said to them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him, entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand. And what did he say? There was a whole lengthy discourse that he uttered to get this girl up. Jesus uses a lot of words to get done what he wants to do, doesn't he? Or is this not keeping with the great Creator, who back in the book of Genesis merely spake a word and things popped into existence out of nothing? Here we see the same Creator speaking a word, and one who was dead is now alive. Just a word. Oh, the power of the word of Christ, which is, again, to be reminded that he that cometh to me shall never hunger. I'm the bread of life. And what's the counsel of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4 concerning how we should live? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That powerful word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, every word. Now in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and by the way, while we're thinking along this line, you remember when Jesus was sitting on the well in Samaria, and a woman came to him, key word, the woman of Samaria came to him? That little discussion that they had? Her conclusion when she came to that well, after she went back home, she said, come and see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Messiah? And what was it that impressed her? His words. His words. But here we are in Luke 6, verse 47. Again, the key word come. In a very practical sense, Luke 6 and the 46th verse says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh, key word, whosoever keeps coming, it's in the present tense, whosoever keeps coming to me and heareth my sayings, my word, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house, it dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. When the storms come, and the storms will, to your life and to my life, some of you, over the course of the years that I have known you, have and even now are experiencing the severe winds of storm. And the reason that your house does not shake and crumble is because you are established upon the Word. the rock, synonymous. However, the person who stopped coming, the person who didn't come, here in this same context, verse 49 says, But he that heareth doeth not, is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It's great. I'm reminded also that you will never be disappointed when you come to the bakery. You won't. I'm reminded of what we read in the last chapter, near the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, in the hours after the resurrection. Talked about Mary. On the first day of the week, the scriptures say, on the first day of the week cometh Mary. And she was not disappointed. Ultimately, she saw Jesus. She got to see Jesus. One of the first people to see our blessed Lord in His resurrection body. She came. And you and I have a multiplied greater privilege in that, because you and I have access to the risen Lord on an everyday basis if we will but come. Come and keep coming. Keep eating the fresh bread. Don't worry about the carb counter. Just eat the bread. Just eat the bread. Remember, the author of the book of Hebrews said these words in Hebrews 11 verse 6. He that cometh, there's the word, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. One of the main reasons why people come to the bakery is they smell what's cooking. God is always baking the bread. So as he that cometh does so by faith, believing that He is, so then diligently seeking Him, having pleased Him, is rewarded by Him. There is nothing more satisfactory physically than to take a piece of fresh, hot, baked bread and smother that baby in the oil of the butter. Sit down with a smoking hot cup of coffee and just sit there and eat that. And then close your eyes, lean back in the recliner, and just let that do its thing in the belly. Yeah, probably the only thing that compares to that, and it might be that we got it backwards. Sometimes people like to eat their bread with their main course. I'd rather not. Sometimes that kind of thing is better after. So if I'm going to really get primed, you know what's going to be on my plate first. That's exactly right. Exactly right. And then the bread may come. He that keeps on coming shall never hunger, and he shall never thirst. Now there's an enhanced promise with a premise that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, where you have in the last part of that chapter these words, a promise with a premise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? What I'm going to eat, the bread. And what I'm going to drink, the living water. And the clothing that I'm going to wear, the clothing of salvation. All these things shall be added to you. That's the promise. That's the promise. How foolish it is for Christian people to pick and pick, or not eat at all, and become lean and mean and useless to the body of Christ. I recommend a carb overload when it comes to the bread of life. Just gorge. It's not going to hurt you. Matter of fact, there are some scripture verses, I think, in the Bible somewhere that commends something about being fat. Am I right? What's the thinking of the verse? The liberal soul shall be made fat. Is that what I'm looking at? Thank you for being attentive. Let's pray together and we'll be intercession time. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of your word. Thank you for your dear people. May your grace be great upon them. And we pray, dear Lord, that you might keep them safe and help them, dear Heavenly Father, to shine, and to be bold in their witness. Gracious, dear Heavenly Father, in all the way that they approach it, that you might have the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you, folks.